This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
Jesus is the Lamb of God. We come to you, Father, in humility, seeking your face, that we will all turn from anything you consider a wicked way. Help us to stop redefining what wicked ways are so that we can make room for tolerance in an apostate hour when so many have faith that is waxing cold. Help us to not be turncoats, Lord, but let us live as Hebrews 10:39 says. And we're not going to live as unto perdition of them that turn back. You know, they're going to go into a disastrous way. But you came to seek and to save, that we will, amen, own up to our responsibility and walk into the gates with an attitude of gratitude and come into the courts well washed with praise. We can't go into the courts lest we, oh God, get into that laver. The laver is there to wash us, and the living word of God will wash us clean well before we get to the Holy of Holies. Help us to get ourselves washed by the word. We know you're able. There's a process in worship where you get washed by the word. If the word is not in the presence of worship, we're not going to get washed, God. We're going to stay, oh God, in a stupor, oh God, where we're redefining who God is and what he has as far as intentions are for us. And we're going to be easy on ourselves. But let us live in the fiery presence of the Holy Ghost who came to burn up the dross. He's not playing with sin. He's burning it up. Help us, Lord God, that we will, oh God, lay before the throne of God, seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways. And then our God shall bless us, yes, in the ends of the earth. We'll begin to fear him the way they ought to fear him. We need this knowledge and understanding in this evil day, the perilous times. We know you're able, God, and Jesus is not the same. Won't you give God a praise with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over the room, bless his name. 20 more seconds, come on and bless him. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we give your name the praise. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Bless your name.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, yes, Lord.
We give your name the praise. Hallelujah. Thank God for all of you here. Most certainly thank God for his spirit. Blessing us to worship, amen, in the beauty of holiness. We're going to be in the book. We're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 8. 8 is great. Great beginning in the Holy Ghost. We need Romans 8 so we can live in the Holy Ghost, amen. We need Hebrews 11 so we'll know what faith is all about. So we're going to be in both of those. Going to read, amen, briefly in the power of the Holy Ghost, through Romans 8, verses 8 through 18. A few scriptures there. And jumping over to Hebrews 11, two verses of scripture, 5 and 6. We want wisdom and knowledge and understanding by his spirit on today. Oh God, bless us as we are, amen, resolved in our stance to know that you are the only way out of no way. We thank you, Ark of Safety. We thank you, Jesus. Help us to walk and not be weary, run and not faint, make progress. Help us to not procrastinate. Help us to not be tolerant of anything, any minute detail of deceitfulness that the devil tries to sneak in, awares and unawares. Help us, oh God, to walk this walk of faith with diligence, obedience unto the will of God. We know you're able, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8, 8 through 18 reads as follows. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Capital S, that means the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Holy Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, we're always talking about the Holy Spirit, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken is to make alive your mortal bodies. The Spirit is affecting the natural. Amen. As he dwelleth. Very important word, dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, see, not to that old nature, to live after the flesh, the old nature. For if ye live after the flesh, that old nature, ye shall die. But if ye through the Holy Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you know, that old nature, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit of God, right? They are the sons of God. For ye have not received the smallest spirit, the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, live in fear, but ye have received the Holy Spirit of adoption. God adopted us, whereby we cry, Father, Abba, in the old language. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, in other words, himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. What kind of heirs? Heirs of God. What kind of heirs of God? The joint heirs with Christ. We can go to God because of Christ, that bridge, that ark of safety leads us back to God. Amen. If so be that we have done this, we suffer with him. See that? That we may be also glorified together. We got to go through some things for the glorification. There's a rite of passage called, let me think, suffering because of righteousness' sake. My God. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he shall not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Yes. It says here, but without faith, this is holy faith, uncontested, unadulterated, holy faith. Amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, first and foremost, and that he is a rewarder. You're going to believe his word, in other words, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we're diligently seeking him, we're resting assurance in the eternal hope of glory. Personified, his name is Jesus. Now, since God is a rewarder, as the scripture said, of them that diligently seek him, it is in our hands to take advantage of the opportunity to obtain through spiritual heritage the blessings prepared for those who qualify as the joint heirs of Christ. Christ as the Son of Man, he's the Son of God, but we're looking at him as the Son of Man here, has been given all authority. He had to come down from heaven, lower than the angels, but he had all authority to successfully lead willing souls, right, calling them, to experience the joy of heaven. You know, when he says at the end of your journey, enter thou into the joy of heaven. Enter thou, right? Well done, thy good and faithful servant, my God. As opposed to depart from me, I know you not, ye worker of iniquity. So we should be already connected to him before we go up to him. Amen. We're already connected to him. That's why it's called everlasting life. We're giving life that will last forever. It's everlasting. We're not eternal, but we need everlasting life right now to lead us into eternity. Amen. So let's think about this. As we are willing to be his disciple, There's going to be something that he enables us to do. Live by the power and faith of God's Spirit. This is what we want to share today as we are yet in the back to the basics, amen, of Christian living. He's dealing with this part of our curricular, prophetic curricular journey, that we ought to what? Live by the power and faith of God's Spirit. Amen. The New Living Translation version of Hebrews 11, 5, and 6 teaches us that it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly, he disappeared because God, what? Took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. So you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is God. Amen. That he exists. He's not just one of the gods. No, he is God. Amen. He doesn't lower himself to those idols that we make, these man-made things. And look, we're borrowing from his creation to make things that are stealing the praise of him that made the substance of the things that we, you know, reconstruct to call our God. Seriously, we must believe that he is the one. Amen. And that he will reward those who sincerely, in other words, diligently, as the King James Version says it, that diligently seek him, sincerely seek him. This man of God named Enoch had a sustained, close, and loyal relationship with God that was not faked. Amen. He was not a hypocrite. No. He did not just give lip service. His heart was transformed. Thank God. And he was a real person of faith. He belonged to God. God made him over. So as he sought to live for God and not for himself, not for pleasures of this life, he maintained a life of holy faith, which qualified him for the heritage of heaven. We're going to get to what heritage is all about in a minute. But to experience an eternal heritage, we must seek after the eternal one. Makes sense? If you're going after earthly things, you're going to, amen, be given what earth will give you. And that's a finite existence. You're going to end, and that's it. My God, we want to live forever with God. Isn't that true? But we have to be in right relationship with the eternal one. So if our goal is heaven, then earthly things that quickly fade away should never be our main purpose, should they? No. Satan seeks to rob us all of our heavenly heritage by hiding its eternal significance. It is very vitally important, but the devil wants to put clouds over that importance. The enemy's trick is to give us a false vision of where our strength comes from. Picking and choosing what life is all about based on our feelings and what is popular in this world seems to be the safest influence. It's what we are born in familiarity with. But such a vision will render us powerless against the enemy's false teachings. This is why the devil seeks to teach us until we are numb in our spirit, till we are numb in our intellect, numb in how we perceive things. He wants to drug us up so he can drug us up some more. It's much like the dentist. He will give you something on your gums that will help you not to feel the needle that he's going to pierce into your gums, which will help your jaw not to feel the drill that he's going to drill into your bone. My God. So the devil will give you an introductory numbing. And then it's going to set him up to help that you will be blinded
and yield completely to him, and then he's going to drug you all the way up. You see that? That's why he works in a stealth, quiet, deceitful way. Something that's familiar as far as pleasure is concerned. It's sweet, so it must be good. It sounds good, so it must be all right. And we go on ahead and open the door of our heart and let him fellowship with us. We with him and him with us. But the only place in us, that heart, was set aside for Jesus. It is like in the orchestra, it is the most important seat, that is the direction kind of chair. The chair that gives direction to everybody else. Whatever that first chair is doing, that's what we ought to be doing. He gives us our marching orders. Amen. Who does first chair belong to? Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a songster that wrote a song about that. Amen, amen, amen. Support her first album, and then, amen, it'll help her get that one on out. Amen. Put a little plug in for my boo. Amen. Thank God. What is the correct heritage to base our life upon, and how do we obtain it? Here it is. We can acquire our correct spiritual heritage through the spiritual birth that comes through whom? Christ Jesus. As well as a sustained commitment to him as your Lord. Yes, Jesus does all this work, but it's of no good to us unless he becomes our Lord. He wants to give us the holy heritage. Heritage, by definition, correctly so, is property, first and foremost, that is or can be inherited. It is an inheritance. My God, some people in this world have been given properties and such. They have been given an inheritance handed over to them from the previous generations. Here's another definition, second in order. Something that is passed down from preceding generations. It is a tradition. Sometimes it's not tangible. It is ideology, philosophy, and et cetera, et cetera. A way of thinking. Could be good, could be bad. Amen. Here is a third tier in definition. The status acquired by a person through birth. In other words, a birthright. A heritage of affluence and social position. You can inherit such a thing. Now, who was Enoch? What was Enoch's heritage? Was it earthly? Was it heavenly? We don't know a lot about Enoch because the scripture did not open up the floodgate about Enoch very much. But what the Bible told us is all we need to know. It was a window to help us peer into eternity and something that we could experience in our own life. So we look at Enoch. He was a chosen propagator of heaven's purpose. His life was a sermon, but he also was prophetic in his giftings. He lived long before the Genesis flood. Now, I'm putting you as far as the setting is concerned, where he lived and when he lived. Amen. And all that scripture tells us about him is that, quote, Enoch walked with God 300 years. End quote. And that also another quote. He was not, in other words, he was no more on the earth for God what took him. End quote. And that's in Genesis 5, verses 21 and 24. Now, if we go all the way to the New Testament in the Gospels, in Luke 3, we find that he was named in the adoptive paternal lineage of Jesus. That's a big, deep thing for a Sunday morning, but you got to think. God is trying to help us to go back to the basics of Christian living. And if this, amen, theological sounding piece of meat is basic, my God, that means we must have missed the boat on some things. So we need what? Remediation. Amen. We got to look at the lineage of Jesus. Sometimes we pass over that. So-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. It's a bit boring. But if you look at the names, they all have meaning and very important to what God is showing us as far as heritage is concerned. We see that Jesus had Mary, and he had who else? Joseph. Amen. They weren't single parents. They were together. Amen. But Jesus did not have the blood of men. My God. He was born of the what? Holy Spirit. Thank God. But he had the adoptive part of his life through Joseph. And in ancient days, adoption was as if you were in the bloodline. My God. It was a miraculous thing for him to have the lineage of holiness and the unending kingdom and throne God ordered and established through all. Amen. We see especially the Davidic covenants God ordered and established that the Davidic line would not end. Amen. And the only way you can end is to have somebody eternal in your throne. Amen. And along comes Jesus to be in that throne. So the throne never ended. Amen. Amen. Thank God. But we're looking at the paternal line. So it is perhaps best to say that the Heavenly Father adopted this line, which he preserved in holiness. He had to preserve it. There was a fight against holiness. The devil fought hard to pervert it. The line goes all the way back to Adam. If you look at Luke 3, the lineage. The kings had to have lineage, and you had to prove that you were of royal blood. Jesus said, nobody gonna top this. My line goes all the way back to Adam, which goes back to God. Who's gonna top that? My God. So as a matter of fact, in Luke 3, 36 and 37, Enoch's name is listed three ancestral generations before Noah, making him Noah's what? Great-grandfather. Amen. Living as a citizen with a holy reputation of heavenly purpose in an antediluvian society before the flood, which Genesis generally describes as an increasingly sinful culture. It is of no coincidence that Enoch was the seventh holy patriarch from Adam, which prophetically reveals him as having a heavenly purpose to walk perfectly with increased wisdom, stature, and favor before God and man. Sounds like a type of Christ right there. Amen. His life is a picture showing us that God calls us to have a spiritually consecrated life of worship, not just events intermittently of worship, but your whole life should be worship. Amen. So God showed us through him that heavenly protocol, that heavenly standard, the heritage by which we ought to be living through Jesus and his Spirit. Amen. We have a choice ever before us to be either God's firmly founded sanctuary. Our body should be the temple of the Holy Ghost. We should be a godly, confirmed and firmly founded sanctuary. That means, amen, when God is digging into the ground to lay the foundation, it ought to be what? Firm. When the winds of adversity come, the house will not fall. My God. It will stay stationed in God. So we ought to be like that. In other words, what is it in opposition of? Being an unsettled tent instead of a sanctuary brick building, we could be an unsettled tent of lesser quality. And when we are tents, we move about with every wind and doctrine, and sometimes we end up pitching our tent towards Sodom. My God, we ought not be doing that. So before God comes to take us to heaven, we should have already allowed him to take us from the power of sin. Amen. To firmly root and ground us in holiness before he comes. My God. In other words, we are ready, not trying to hurry up and what? Get ready. When newbies in the faith ask me, well, what does this sign mean? What does that sign mean? What does the blood moon mean? What does this mean? I need a time clock so I can know how I can keep being funky until the last minute when Jesus is about to crack the sky. Then I could get right with God. I could just hum a few bars of a poetic song and be in there. But being in there is more than that. Amen. God has to transform you by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of the word. And the last time I checked, God is not a ding microwave God. He's like a crock pot kind of God. Slow cooker. Are we there yet, Lord? Nope. Keep hanging on. Keep hanging on. Keep hanging on. My God, keep on keeping on. That's what the old saint said. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I've been running for Jesus a long time. And I'm what? Not tired yet. Hallelujah. You got to keep on keeping on. This Christian thing is a hold on. You got to hold on a little while longer. Oh, how dare you get on the subway and it's reeling and rocking it and you not holding on. You're going to fall on something, on somebody. My God, you better hold on. Hallelujah. Keep your feet planted. Feet charred with the gospel of preparation of peace. Hey, hallelujah. Keep your feet stable. Hallelujah. That's what God needs us to be. Thank God, and we will not give in to the power of sin when we are living like that. But if we look in antiquity, when some of the old Jewish sages looked at this book of Enoch that Jude is quoting from, they began to have an inventive interpretation of, quote, God took him. They suggested simply that Enoch died, and that was it. God took him. Means that he died. He lost his life, and that was it. My God. And they said God took him because it was such an evil time. God didn't want him to be caught up in sin, so he took him before he got caught up in sin. But it sounds like God is a scary God when we think that way. Doesn't that make you feel that way? Oh, he about to mess up, so I better hurry up and take him. That don't sound like God. No, that's not the God I serve and love. No, thank God. Most Christian commentators believe that God took him indicates that Enoch, like Elijah, was snatched up into glory without passing through death. We know this because we study the what? Entire Bible. They had a piece of the story. They ready to come to a conclusion. They need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Out of the mouth of God shall every word be established. We got to listen to what God is saying. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The problem with some of the old Jewish sages, they began to harden their heart and they were not ready to receive the Messiah the way God brought him. They wanted the Messiah to come in their formula. But God had a certain formula, prescription, and protocol conducive of glory. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Yes.
We have the entire word, and we can rest assured in complete biblical analysis to render that Enoch is accepted as a type of church, espoused to Christ. Amen. Walking in readiness to meet him, to be raptured at the appointed time. Amen. And we don't live by some kind of little stop clock or watch or some kind of new kind of Fitbit and sin that we could time clock Christ and know when he's coming. Hurry up, better get it right. We got to get right. Clean the house. Party is over, y'all. We should not be living that way. Amen. A raggedy life. No, let's be ready. For in such an hour as what? You think not. Yeah, you don't base life on your own understanding. Amen. Our steps should be ordered by the Lord. The good steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Think not on your own understanding. Don't do it. Amen. Let God provide the heavenly wisdom conducive for the holy life. Let him transform you by his unshakable word. By God, by his undying word. By his unfailing word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you. Hallelujah. Thank God. See, we have the biblical analysis to know that in such a time as we think not, the rapture going to come in. Amen. So what is more fascinating, though, about Enoch is that at the age of 65, stay with me, something happened to him where he turned to the Lord. Remember, everybody was about the party. They loved the party. But Enoch was like, there's something more to life than just party. Then when the Holy Ghost tapped him on the shoulder, the Holy Ghost let him know, yes, you're right. There's something more to life than that. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I came to shake you up, not your booty, but your hearts. I came to get your heart right.
Yeah.
Thank God. Get off of that dance floor and amen. Get on the holy threshing floor and dance on that. Amen. I've come to do a shaking. Amen. So you can, amen, have the bond of sin loosed off of you. And God's going to free your feet from evil so you could dance for real. Get on the real dance floor. Hallelujah. I've seen carnal folk. They don't know how to act when the Holy Ghost comes. They don't know how to dance in the Holy Ghost. But as long as we're carnal and we got that, my soul is a witness. We got that old, amen, jukebox spirit. Oh, they could dance to that. Why? Because, amen, it is a fleshly thing. It is a carnal thing, an innate sinful thing. We're enamored and familiar with that. But God comes by his spirit with an unfamiliar thing. Amen. God didn't intend for me to be dancing and boogalooing on the dance floor. I tried to do it in college. It didn't never work. Amen. I couldn't get my groove on right. Amen. But when I got the Holy Ghost good all up in me and out of my pores, I began to have a dance. Amen. That my feet, amen, we're familiar with, but I didn't know about it. It was an eternal familiarity because the Holy Ghost in me was familiar with it, but my dead body was not. It was not all of the flossing and stuff that they were doing. I wasn't doing all of these stuff. Amen. I had my own kind of dance in the Holy Ghost. Hey, hallelujah. I said, this is what I've been missing. Amen. And I was so hungry and thirsty for it. I had been deprived for far too long. And they had to put the human fence there so I could be kept from knocking the chairs down. I said, this feels too good. Hallelujah. I won't let go. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I thank God he gave me, amen, enough sense to know that I could control my step and not knock down any chairs. But amen, the evidence is there that the Holy Ghost, rest assured, in me, he dwelleth. Not just exists around and in me, but he dwelleth. He has made residence in me. Amen. And amen, the decor has been fixed and changed according to his standards. Thank you, Lord. I haven't kept them the way I want. Amen. And then ignore the spirit. The day you hear his voice, he said, these amenities need to be changed. I say, yes, sir. What do you need? Take that out. Take this out. Add that. Amen. Thank God. God is going to help fix you right the way you ought to be.
Yes.
Enoch experienced that. Amen. I have experienced the Enoch experience. God came and changed me. Amen. But thank God I was 9 years old, not 65. Amen. But Enoch, amen, they lived back in a time when folk lived way longer. So this was like teenage years to him. Thank God, 65, something happened, made him turn to the Lord. It is obvious that God met with him. You know why? Calling him for special service, there's evidence. And as tradition would have it, Enoch named his child according to this experience with God. This is how prophets did it. Amen. They would name the city they lived in, their house, amen, their children, whatever experience the Holy Ghost had them go through. Apparently, God would use Enoch as the messianic seed of faith. Amen. For us all. He was like a planted seed. Thank God. So for the next 300 years, faithful Enoch continued to walk with God. This is what makes Enoch a hero. Not that God took him, but that for 300 years, Enoch lived in a corrupt society, but remained faithful to the Lord. Oh, tempted on all points, but yet without sin. Sound like a type of Christ to me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Enoch walked faithfully with God for 3 centuries. Imagine that. How challenging that is for us today. Can't hardly live for 3 seconds. My God. You take one little taste. And like you're hooked, my God. 3 clicks on the internet, 3 seconds, 3 clicks, and you're hooked. They said pornography is like a drug, the new drug. It ties you all up, all on the inside of your biochemical makeup, and entwines and entangles and deceives us to, amen, replace what ought to be done with something else. It's a detrimental thing to us and to people around us. God needs to sober up America, sober up the world. Amen. Men and women. People say it's only men. Women are hooked on porn just as much as men are now. My God. So we got to look at society. What is the contaminating factor? The devil uses the media to distract us. You could be hooked on Facebook and all these other social media networks. You are looking for validation and vindication and such. People air their dirty draws all on social media, ripping each other apart, showing the world, amen, how dysfunctional their family and their mind is, amen. All for the world wide web to see. My God. And people, amen, bearing their body on the world wide web. Look, everybody, this time I tail up. And now you can't take it back. You get saved, and now people are still sharing that. It's still going viral. Meanwhile, you got delivered. My soul is a witness. God has set me free. But your tail's still out there.
That's right.
God didn't call us to put our tail online.
No,
no. No, 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 no. God said, I'm going to put your faith to the test. In other words, put you on the line. Amen. And see if you can walk this race that's set before you. Amen. Walk the chalk line. I'm going to see if you inebriated, drunk with the wine of the world. My God, I'm going to send Jesus. Amen. As that, amen, touchstone. I'm going to see of what sort you are. And I can tell if you are gold, if you are silver, if you are stubble, if you are hay. Yes. What sort you are. Yes. Jesus is the standard. Yes. By which we can tell.
Yes.
Enoch, amen, had the standard of God. God tested him and he came out righteous. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And our lifespan is much shorter than Enoch's. And in Christ, we have the opportunity to know God better and even have a support system of a large body of believers. If we want to do that, amen, we need to do that. We need to have our mind made over so that we don't, amen, go into the world wide web and do it incorrectly. But there's a way to be validated in the Holy Ghost, amen. And let God, amen, be your friend, the real friend, amen. And we need to do a real following. Follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And become the body of believers in Jesus. Amen. Enoch didn't even have that. But we have that. Mm-hmm. Amen. God knows that our lifespan would be much shorter. And that we would get enamored and drugged up quicker. Mm. Amen. So we needed the potency of vitality that is found in fellowship in a holy association in the body of believers. Amen. I'm not talking about people who just come congregating to a church looking for fleshly things. The first 100 members that come, we're going to give you iPads. They're like, ooh, I beat you. You 101. I'm 100. Get out of the way. And people fighting in the parking lot for position. My God. And I saw people fighting one time as we were waiting to get into a service, a big, big, big mega church. My God, out there in Ohio years back, we're waiting and I'm holding, amen. One of my babies was born already. Well, Sienna, I'm holding her. I think Andre was in utero. Thank God. And we saw people getting ready to fight because they thought somebody cut the line and stuff. They said, you back up and you don't tell me what to do. You're not my pastor. They started getting ready to go fisticuffs out there in the vestibule, but before coming into the house of God all the way. My God. And seemed like an hour or two later as we were waiting, then when we got in there, they started quiet with that big clap they do and the shout music going, and people act like they had lost the fact that they had just began the fight outside. They said, oh! I said, this is so carnal. Oh, my God. What they should have did is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you just now. And then the Holy Ghost would touch the pastor. You right there. You were getting ready to fight in the parking lot. Come on up. God wants to save you right here. That's what they should have did. Amen. Instead of appealing to the flesh. Make him happy first. You know? But people need to come into the gate with what? Thanksgiving. Amen. That means an attitude of gratitude unto God. Not, amen, pacifying their flesh. I'm not going to pacify your flesh when you come in here. We got into the mode of prayer some years back in our other location, and this visitor came, and he thought we were getting ready to do iPads and all kind of other whatever stuff, and we began to have a deep prayer, amen, and feeling the power of God. He said, yikes, I'm out of here. My God. After the one or two songs, and then the word and prayer was coming, interceding prayer. My God, he couldn't stand the taste of that. His flesh was like, this is distasteful. I am out of here. But these are the kind of people that Enoch lived around. You're either going to come into Jesus, or Jesus is going to be distasteful to you and you're going to go away from him. Is he a stepping stone or a stone of offense? Which is he to you? The people had a wrong heritage in Enoch's day. But Enoch had a holy heritage, a holy heavenly purpose based on Hebrews 11, but even more so on Jude 14 and 15, which by scholarly standards is a direct quote from the book of Enoch, Jude 1, 14 and 15. It says, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. See that? And we first learn of Enoch, though, in Genesis 5. But it leaves us with some questions. Genesis 5, 21 to 24 says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot who? Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, more of them. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him off the scene, if you will. Off the earthly scene, that is. Hebrews 11 has the answers, and Jude quotes Enoch. How did Jude come to know the words of Enoch? You know, the words of Enoch were from the ancient book of Enoch. Probably was like a journal of the family. They all added to it. Enoch, it was not received as scripture, but it was highly respected among both the Jews and early Christians. This book is not considered canonical. It's not a part of, you know, Genesis through Revelation, right? But it is yet highly honored by many as having some messianic content with historic viability. Thank God. In it, we find that Noah, the great-grandson of Enoch, actually testifies about his great-grandfather's revelatory meeting with the Lord to come. The book of Enoch, chapter 68 and 1. Amen. And it says, and after that, my great-grandfather Enoch gave me all the secrets in the book and in the parables which had been given to him. And he put them together for me in the words of the book of the parables. And earlier in the book of Enoch, and he writes in first person, the book of Enoch, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. There I beheld the Ancient of Days, whose head was like white wool. See, God didn't put a box to his head like I do. Amen. He let his head just be white. Amen. And with him another, whose countenance resembled that of a man. His countenance was full of grace. Who that sound like already? Jesus, right? Like that of one of the holy angels. Then I inquired of one of the angels who went with me and who showed me every secret thing concerning this Son of Man, he called him, who he was, whence he was, and why he accompanied the Ancient of Days. He answered and said to me, this is the Son of Man, to whom righteousness belongs, with whom righteousness has dwelt, and who will reveal all the treasures of that which is concealed, end quote. When these writings are considered, the heritage of Noah's family is readily revealed. Historically speaking, this man named Enoch begot Methuselah when he was 65. Then 187 years later, we can't even understand that, right? Methuselah then begot Lamech. Maybe you are familiar with that name. 182 years after that, Lamech begot Noah. See, Lamech was Noah's father. Methuselah was 369 years old as a grandfather when his grandson Noah was born. Picture that. The great flood did not happen until Methuselah died 600 years later. See, Methuselah's life was a time clock for the Lord, prophetically so. This is where the holy heritage is best evidenced. The mystery lies in the deeper meaning of Methuselah's name. Check this out. At face value, his name means man of the javelin. You know, like you throwing a spear, man of the javelin, which yet has prophetic significance even for our day. For this name pictures a man of God that prophetically sends forth the holy word of God with pinpoint accuracy. He seeks after God like a hunter with a javelin, but he also doubles in his life and protects the holy heritage as a warrior with a javelin. See, he hunts with the javelin of the mysteries of God, seeking the face of God, right, like a hunter. But he also protects like a warrior so that, amen, no contamination comes. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? He wanted to wipe them out of the temple because they bought and sold what in the temple. So he was like a warrior, my God. Jesus also sought after the face of God as between campaigns, he would go alone and go into the mountains and wherever else to get away from everybody, but to be with who? God. He was always in the face of God. We have to do this same thing, like Methuselah's name means. Amen. See, he sought after God like a hunter, but protected the heritage of God like a warrior. My God. So another deeper, though, aspect of this name lies in the fact that his own lifespan would be a prophetic indicator. Methuselah's name also means when he is dead, it will be sent. Imagine your name meant that. What's your name? When I'm dead, it will be sent. You know, what's your nickname? Get ready before it come. I mean, thank you, Chief. What will be sent? The great deluge of judgment and mass destruction was sent from God after Methuselah's death. So the people of God were off the scene. The good seed was off the scene. See that? Before that came. And the only good seed left was where? In the ark. Amen. Everybody else was sinful. Noah was the 10th generation after Adam, sealing the perfection of the heavenly purpose to protect and maintain the holy seed of the woman that Satan's fallen angels tried their best to completely pervert. So after Methuselah's 969 life years of prophetic countdown, as promised by God and handed down in the holy tradition by his forefathers, a holy seed, Seth's line. Remember, Seth had to be born because who was taken? Abel, right? Then further down the line, Seth was born because Abel was the holy seed. The devil took him out. But God said, I got that. Seth was already going to be born anyway. You don't got nothing on me. Amen. You can't stop the holy line. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So the holy seed, Seth's line, did not see the same death as did the unholy seed, which was Cain's line. And judgment did come as ordered from God's holy throne. The ark of safety sealed by grace. Who closed the door of the ark? Not Noah. God did. Read the book. God closed it. It was sealed by what? Grace. Through faith. Noah built it by faith. But God sealed it, of course, by his grace. Amen. We are saved by grace. What? Through faith. God makes the opportunity, but we got to, amen, see it through. You got to keep on keeping on. If you don't keep on keeping on, you're going to be like those who fall back unto perdition. But I want to be like those who believe unto the saving of the soul. Hallelujah, anyhow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So we see this ark is picturing for us, amen, as spoken by the prophet Enoch, that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be the second and last ark of safety, coming to save lost souls after a prolonged period of grace to eternally save the faithful from the presence of sin forever. Save from the judgment, right? Save from powers of sin, and then save from the very presence of sin. Isn't that great? Amen. I want to be ready when he comes. Amen. Be ready before he comes. Already be living ready. Amen. Through the 300 years prophetically like, amen, Enoch was doing. Amen. He was already ready. Amen. But see, this time when Jesus comes back, the next go around, it's not going to be water. What is it going to be?
Fire.
It's going to be by fire. My God. You want to be here when the fire come? No. Hallelujah, God. I'm not trying to test out. Let's see if we got enough faith like the three Hebrew boys. No. Amen. That kind of fire, you're going to burn your behind up. Amen. No, I think I'm going to go with Jesus on this here one. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. See, it is best to obtain and maintain a heavenly purpose because you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Isn't that right? And we can, as we depend on the powerful living presence of the Lord, as did our hero of faith, Enoch. He was on earth long enough to teach, mostly by practical example, to his descendants of the next two generations. You could see your grands and your great grands and keep on teaching. Isn't that great? And people will yet honor you, amen, as families should, unless they're dysfunctional, my God, and don't know of what sort the Holy Ghost is. Isn't that bad? See, but as ancient tradition helps us to know, Enoch began to prophetically chronicle the will of the Lord in his historical messianic book that bears his name. The book of Enoch is not canonized, but it is most important in its content as it referred to the explanation and the mentioning of that which was quoted by two New Testament books, Hebrews and Jude. Amen. And guess what? Those were canonized. Amen. So the auspices of God were kept. In other words, the heritage of God was kept intact. Amen. Thank God. Everybody, you know, a lot of people wrote prayer journals and whatnot, but God said, I'm not going to put all of that in the Bible. You know, I'm going to give this testimony, you testify, you can't, everybody don't have time to testify, but amen, y'all going to be in that great line, amen. I'm going to list you at least in the genealogy, amen, thank God, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So let's think about this as we are closing. In order to live by the power and faith of God's spirit, that's what we want to do. We must acquire our correct spiritual heritage. There is an unholy spiritual heritage. We don't want that. The devil's contaminating souls, especially through associations. And we don't know people around the world, but we can connect with them through social media, you know. And evil can spread exponentially because of the media. And God wants to use that creation that he gave wisdom for man to create to spread the gospel. But not to spread, amen, lies and deceit, perversion, my God, and an ounce of tail, my God. We don't need all of that. God didn't say the tail prevail like it did in the olden days, no matter what the Lord said, the tail prevailed. God didn't say that. The holy hymns, the holy spiritual songs say the blood prevail like it did in the olden days, no matter what the people say, the blood prevail. I know. The blood prevailed. They said, I know, because they had an experience for themselves. Not just my mama said it. My uncle and them said it twice removed on my mother's side. No, I know that I know. You gotta know it. Do you know the man? Hallelujah. Thank God. So let us learn who the man is and be spiritually connected in a consecrated life of worship. Amen. Not just an event, but the lifestyle. Your mind worshiping, your heart and passions, intellect, your pursuits, doing things because of worship. Amen. Our life should be worship. Amen. You're not going to see me, amen, cutting a monkey on some dance floor, being highly inebriated by Johnny as I walk red. Amen. Loose out of here. Amen. And I don't want no Rita called Marga. No, I don't need her either. Thank God. I need to stay sober, vigilant, because my adversary, the devil, comes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I got to stay sober. Oh, in my body. Sober in my spirit. I don't want to be seduced by those spirits from hell. My God, and doctrines of devils drinking from their cup till I can't get enough. Loose out of here. I want that stuff to be distasteful. Let's remember that it is the Lord's will that we live by the power and the faith of God's Spirit. Hallelujah.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.